Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Momentarily, Mike Tomlin on the Steelers quarterback situation, on the Broderick Jones situation, on making the L.A. Chargers sound like the 85 Bears. Yeah, they're off to a 2-0 start. I don't know about this team. I know they have a pretty good quarterback, but he's hurt right now. I don't know if it's going to be hurt enough. Have we gotten any word on Herbert from the other day?
Big time news on if he's out or not and what his availability might be.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. This is going to be mighty interesting. Whether we hear the same words we heard last week, which were we're preparing as if Justin Fields will play.
So we have a new depth chart out. That the only change to it is with Troy Faltanu as the starting right tackle, Broderick Jones the backup at both left tackle and right tackle, and Seumalo, who's hurt, still listed as the starting left guard.
Clearly, the Steelers are unhappy with Broderick Jones. The question is that just about his play? I think that's the question. Chris Hokey had an interesting quote about how he thought that Jones didn't look overly interested in training camp. Fair or unfair, that was Hokey's observation. We're going to talk about all of that, and that's going to be, you better believe, one of the questions that comes up here. I'm talking about just Jones's status on the team, but this is a guy they drafted last year who's not starting. The guy they drafted this year is.
Here's the coach.
Good afternoon. As always, I'll start with a quick synopsis of our last performance, and really I have the same sentiments that I had.
The TV froze.
The TV froze?
The TV. I have the TV on in here. Literally, the TV feed froze from the press conference. See if I can pull it up somewhere else. It says, please stand by. There we go.
I'm really comfortable with the amount of support and stuff that we get in Atlanta. Was highly concerned environmentally about Denver. Hadn't been in that environment, I don't think, since maybe 2018 as a collective. Know the intensity of their fan base and how loud that venue could be. And so was really concerned about the environmental components of the matchup. I thought we did a nice job of kind of minimizing that, particularly in the early portions of the game. We stayed on schedule. We ran the ball. We utilized quarterback mobility sometimes in situational moments to minimize some of that. We were to push through the red zone and put 7 on the board. I think 7 points as opposed to field goals has a way of doing some of those things. And so I was really pleased with our ability to manage some of the environmental things. I like the way that our guys communicated in game. I like their just approach to preparation regarding the environment. Also, as I mentioned, as the game unfolded, I got displeased with the amount of penalties that we absorbed, and really in all 3 phases. We had a penalty in the return game that kind of minimized our return game. That's 2 times in 2 games we've had a penalty in the return game. We feel like we got dynamic return people. It hadn't had an opportunity to really reveal itself yet, but you don't have a chance to get the return game going until you play penalty-free in that space. And so we've had a penalty in the return game in both games. We need to clean that component of our play up. We were penalized some on defense, man. That minimized our efforts in some situations, particularly some of the pre-snap penalties. We were in the neutral zone some, and that's not characteristic of us, giving away yardage. And so we got to get back in the lab on that. And on offense, man, holding, particularly in September in the NFL, is going to kill drives. You're not collectively mature enough to overcome behind the chain circumstances that holding and so forth puts you in. I just thought offensively, particularly in the second half, man, we didn't have a great deal of an opportunity to control the game in the ways that we'd like to, because we got behind the sticks. You get behind the sticks in a hostile environment, you're shutting down drives, particularly in September. And so I thought those were the components of the game that really captured my attention. I thought the guys played hard. They played together. They were engaged. They smiled in the face of the adversity that naturally happens in game. And so, you're looking for some of those things at the early stages of development. As we get into this thing, guys are going to have an opportunity to ascend for a variety of reasons and show what they're capable of. I was pleased with Troy's first action of the year, if you will. We got a couple of young guys that I think are doing really good. Zach Frazier, obviously, in his second game, and Spencer at left guard playing in place of Isaac. We just got some young people that are really representing themselves in a positive way. Same could be said on defense. Corey Trice is somebody to speak of that's been through a lot. Second-year player, but second football game, having lost his rookie season due to a major injury. That was as significant a play as it was in the football game, that red zone, end zone interception that he provided. Still getting a lot of beautiful contributions from people that might not be new to professional football but are new to us. Whether it's Pruitt and people like that on offense, or D. Elliott and D. Jack and Patrick Queen on defense. We got some guys that are new to us, might not be new to the National Football League, but are new to us, and we're getting some awesome contributions from them. Our communication and cohesion isn't suffering as much as it could, and I'm just appreciative of the attention, the urgency, and the professionalism that some of those new experienced players bring. You can get to know someone in the process, but you really get to know them once you start stepping into these regular season bowls and you get faced with the challenges that are our business. And it's good to get to know some of these guys, and Justin is included in that. The development of our relationship and me getting to know and understand him, and him getting to understand me, it just grows in in-game environments. There's some point in the game I went up to him, I told him to challenge his unit in terms of cleaning up their play so we could get out of the stadium and end the game. And I asked him to do it in his own voice and his own words, but those are some of the things that you ask a quarterback to do. So it's not fun or either realistic to fake that sometimes. And so it's just really good to kind of be in in-game circumstance and get an opportunity to work together in the ways that coaches and leaders, and specifically that instance quarterbacks, have to do in an effort to land the plane or get the desired result. Some injury things to speak of in game. Tyler had a hamstring. I don't have a report on his status as I sit here today. I think he's being evaluated as we speak. The same thing could be said about Pruitt's knee. And Ben, He's got a shoulder, although we've been elevating Ben. He hadn't been on the 53-man roster. I think he had some shoulder discomfort at the end of the game. All of those guys, I don't have a lot of information about their status as I sit here today. That stuff's ongoing. But as always, you know, we include guys as they're capable of participating in preparation. And for new and young guys, the sooner that happens, the more consideration they're under. For older guys, that will give them some latitude as a general practice. And so we'll see what the week holds for some of those guys in terms of some of their roles. But a guy like Tyler Matakavich, man, if he perks up at the end of the week, he is a veteran core teamer and a guy that's been with us before. I'll leave a light on for a guy like him, for instance. Some ongoing injury issues that we've been managing. Isaac might be closer to return. We won't speculate. We'll just simply continue to ready the guys that are available until we get an understanding that he is available. And that's oftentimes dictated by the level of participation and the quality of that participation in practice. And so we'll see what the week holds in terms of him. But he is getting close, and so it's good to follow his participation during the course of the week. And really, we're kind of in the same posture as we were in last week with Russ. As I sit here today, Russ is not scheduled to be a full participant in practice, and so we're ready in a plan that features Justin and his readiness. We'll follow Russ throughout the week. And if his participation gets to a level in participation and quality where we should consider him, we'll delve into that at that time. And obviously, when that happens is a component of the consideration. But as I sit here today, he is not scheduled to be a full participant tomorrow in practice. And so we're readying ourselves around Justin, and we'll stay in that mindset until something else happens. Hypotheticals is a waste of our time. Now I push forward toward the Chargers. Man, really excited about this matchup. Excited for a lot of reasons. First, it's our first home game, and it's nothing like playing in Acushnet for us. We respect it, but it's still exciting nonetheless. We realize that we got a lot to do with what goes on in that environment, and so in that spirit, we're preparing with an edge. I'm also excited because we're playing a dominant 2-0 football group, a group that's done as much as you could do at this early stages of the season. They've won some games in convincing fashion. They've controlled the line of scrimmage in both games. They've taken the ball away and done a nice job of securing the ball in both games. They play to a definitive personality, one that I am very familiar with, although they are new as a collective. If you talk about the offense, man, it starts first and foremost with the architect, Greg Roman. Have a lot of respect for Greg. Competed against him a lot over the years, obviously in the AFC North. A lot of what I see on tape and what we see on tape is very familiar. He has a mode of operation, but all the good ones do. I'd imagine he doesn't care that we know his mode of operation, but that's why he is who he is in this game. And the tape looks like that. He's got some familiar people, guys that have experience within his system. J.K. and Gus in the backfield, but also Bozeman at center, Hurst and Tomlinson at tight end. And so you're talking about some guys, there's a splattering of guys throughout the offense who's got experience there, and it's probably aided in a big way in terms of them building the foundation of that culture. When you got some guys that nod in that knowing way and have been around you before, and it's an asset to you. And they look mature beyond two games in terms of their collective unit maturity. Obviously, J.K. and Gus got a lot to do with that, guys that have played within this scheme and understand what he's trying to get done and have talents that fit that scheme. It's going to be a big challenge for us. I mean, they're running to and through defenses. And so we're working with an edge with respect to that. They also have some dangers in the passing game. Can't say enough about Justin Herbert and his talents, not only as a thrower, but his mobility is a challenge. The first time we played him, first time we were in the stadium with him, we as a collective, myself included, was surprised by his athleticism. And I think it played a major factor in terms of how the game was unfolded. Man, he ran up and down the field on us, man. you know, scrambles and so forth, extended plays. It was a significant component of the outcome of that game. And so we've been in the stadium with him before. We're not speculating about the impact of his mobility. We've experienced it. There's no substitute for experience in that regard. And so we got some challenges to deal with their offense. On the defensive side, man, their coordinator, Jesse Minner, man, I feel like I've known him all his life. I worked for his dad, Rick Minner, years ago at the University of Cincinnati when Jesse was a high school guy. He spent a lot of time with me. I was a secondary coach. He was a defensive back at the time, and so he and I had a lot to talk about. He would, you know, work out with my guys when he could and things of that nature. So I followed his career a lot over the years, got a lot of respect for the groundwork that he's laid. He is really playing to his personality. Watched a lot of Michigan tape a year ago, obviously, because of the number of draft-eligible guys that they had and the amount of success that they had. The schematics are very similar. He's doing a lot of the similar things. He's getting after people. He's aggressive. He's multiple. He's got some awesome bastard zones in one-dimensional circumstances that he unleashes at you when you're behind the chains or in passing circumstances. He has an awesome pressure package that highlight the talents of his edge people. If you're talking about their defense, man, you're talking about Bosa and Mack, no doubt. But if you think about the edge people that he coached at Michigan in recent years, Hutchinson and others, like, he has not been devoid of spectacular edge talent. He knows how to draw defenses to highlight it and how to utilize it. And really, the tape is very reflective of that. And so styles make fights. These guys play ball in a lot of ways similar to us. There's going to be some challenges, and it should be exciting because of it. But really, as I sit here on a Tuesday, man, that's just food and for energy and urgency from the preparation process. When you're facing a big game, man, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And I'm excited about walking this journey of preparation with our guys this week, man. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that, man. We're still very much in the growth and development stages as a collective in terms of how we go about the business of building and engineering victory. From Monday all the way up until the ball gets kicked off. And so we're learning every week. We're making small alterations or big alterations where necessary in an effort to continue the growth and development of this unit. Those of you that normally follow us know that we normally bring in officials on Friday for practice. We're bringing in officials Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week. I believe that that's appropriate given our last outing. In that regard, in terms of not playing penalty free, we're not hoping and wishing our issues away. We got to take tangible action, particularly at the early portions of the year when we land down some guardrails in terms of things that we value and how we go about our business and how we take corrective action in an effort to improve and increase our chances of winning. It's just ball that goes with September, and we better be really urgent about it, and we will be. I'll pause and open it up for questions.
Mike, is what happened in Denver changed whatever plans you had for using Broderick Jones?
It did in game. You know, I had intentions of utilizing both guys. I acknowledge that Troy was healthy. I acknowledge that Troy was capable. That's why we started him. But I rolled him because I had concerns about his level of conditioning. He's a young guy. He's new to me. He's new to the NFL. I didn't know how fatigue would affect his play in terms of detail. And so he tried to ward off some of that. And so I had every intention of using Broderick. But when Broderick started getting highly penalized in play, I backed off of it and I held my breath and I played Troy.
How about this week?
We'll see where the Rose lead. We got a week of preparation. And I'd be disrespectful to Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday if I had a hardcore plan in mind about how I was going to roll those guys. Man, I'm going to give Broderick an opportunity to rebound. He's a talented young player. I'm sure he suffered some disappointment in terms of Troy starting. It's a natural thing. But he's got to move past it, and I got to give him an opportunity to move past it as a leader. And so we'll get into this week. We'll let participation be our guide, and the quality of participation for both guys be our guide in terms of how we divvy up reps this week. It's a new week.
When you said holding penalties in September really killed drive, you said they're not collectively mature. How so? Why?
You know, it takes some time on task together to overcome first and 20. And so that's what I mean.
Was there something about Broderick heading into this game, or was it more what Troy was doing that made him?
This is more reflective of what Troy was doing. Troy had been lighting it up. I don't talk a lot during the preseason, particularly about rookies, because it doesn't help me and it doesn't help them. But based on my actions in terms of putting him in the lineup, I'm sure you have an understanding of what I was looking at in team development.
You haven't rotated tackles very much, I think. We can't remember you ever doing it. Is that something you consider a viable long-term option, or do you need to eventually be one of the other?
Rotation doesn't bother me when everyone's capable. Everyone is capable. I had very little knowledge about Troy's level of conditioning, so it was appropriate.
Outside of the penalties, is there anything else concerning about Broderick's play that has kind of led to Troy being...
The penalties were enough for the reasons I just mentioned. It is difficult for units to overcome first and 20 at any point in the journey, but particularly in week two or week three. You better work your tail off to be penalty free, particularly when you're in hostile environments and you're getting one dimensional in places like Denver. You can essentially shut a drive down. And so that's why we did the things that we did.
Mike, what have you seen from Dan Moore on the left side the first couple of games?
Dan has been solid. Dan has been Dan. Dan is never moved by what's going on around him. There's a maturity to his approach to business, and oftentimes it is reflected in the consistency of his play.
Mike, you mentioned your relationship developing with Justin Fields. How do you evaluate his decision-making on the field, not having any turnovers in the first 2 weeks?
It's been really good, but I expect it to be.
Mike, did Justin do enough to earn the starting job outright?
Again, I'm not talking hypotheticals. We've got one of those two guys available to us as I stand here today, so it is a waste of my time to speculate in hypotheticals and all of that. Justin's got a game to get ready for this week, and so I'm not doing him any justice by talking hypothetical. I want him focused. I'm focused on the next task, and until Russell gets to a state of readiness where he's a consideration, I won't be speculating on any of that in any way.
Mike, you've Justin's only attempted 12 passes beyond the stick so far this week. He's completed 8 of them. He's been efficient in doing so. How have you liked how he's picked his shots or assessed how he's taken those shots?
That's not only reflective of his capabilities and mindset. That's probably reflective of our mindset as a collective. We want to be aggressive in terms of going downfield, but we also want to be prudent. Because incomplete passes and things of that nature get you behind the sticks, and we've been in hostile environments through 2 weeks that we wanted to minimize. It's important, guys, in September that you avoid third and long, particularly if your first two games are on the road. And so we have been really thoughtful and intentional about our approach to business through the first 2 weeks because of environmental reasons and our lack of collective development and the number of young people that we've had in some significant positions like center and left guard and so forth.
Mike, you said you learned about guys in stadium. So what have you learned about Justin over the first 2 games?
He loves to compete. He's got a quiet confidence about him. He doesn't change in environments. There's a clarity in his communication and his response to communications that's really comfortable.
Mike, just one more question about Broderick. Do you plan to continue to cross-train him at both right and left tackle? What advantages do you see to that approach?
We've been doing that. That was going to be his role regardless of who starts and who doesn't. He is the most positioned guy of the three to swing, and so he's been the swing.
After the Buffalo preseason game, he said he didn't have like the right 110% attitude. He said the same thing in Denver. I'm like, when you hear something like that, is that concerning, or is that just a maturity thing with young players?
I didn't hear that. I don't know under what circumstances he said that. Oftentimes, guys are just trying to answer questions appropriately and move on with their day. So I don't put a whole lot of stake in some of those emotional things that are said by guys after game in an effort to be professional and answer the questions of media types.
You had 62 yards in the second half after having a pretty solid first half. What do you feel like went wrong in that second half?
A lot. We got to perform better. We got to perform cleaner. They revved up some of their schematics. And so they're to be given some credit as well. I thought Vance Joseph had an awesome plan. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that. I just think that's a component of being a good professional, tipping the cap when it's deserved. And so there's multiple reasons why the second half unfolded the way that it did, and what they did had something to do with it, certainly.
Mike, as far as the run game goes, you're leading, and sample size is small, and some of this might have to do with Justin running in some pass plays, but you're leading the NFL in rush attempts so far. What have you liked about your run game so far, and where do you think it can get better?
You know, that was appropriate given the time of the year and the environments that we've been in. And so I like what we've done thus far, but we got a new agenda this week. We got a new challenge this week. At the early stages of the year, I'm always hesitant to paint with a broad brush and talk about personality. Personality is revealed over time through circumstances and situations and how you perform and how you respond to certain circumstances. And so we've had a certain set of circumstances or variables at the very beginning of the year that was very strong in terms of how we approach our business. The newness of all the people that I've mentioned, coupled with the environmental components and the lack of development that we all share in September, really dictated that we play a certain way. But that is probably subject to change as we grow and as the venue changes. And so I'd be misleading you if I said what we've done to this point is us.
With Justin, does he still view this as a chance to earn a starting spot right now?
You'd have to ask him that. I don't want to speak for him.
Competition still in your mind?
Again, I've stated where we are. At the beginning of week one, I said it was debatable, and so we were staying status quo, and Russ was in pole position. My position regarding the pecking order and the depth chart has not changed, guys, and it won't until the other guy gets healthy, and then we'll give it real consideration. Until then, I won't speculate. I don't know how many ways I can tell you guys that.
Mike, do you pay attention to Justin Herbert's injury status, and does that change anything for you guys?
I have not to this point in the week. I will. Again, I don't speculate and read stuff on Tuesday. It's a waste of time. Participation or lack thereof is what gets my attention.
Mike, Julie got tagged for two penalties on Sunday, but he's also gone up against Sutton and London and held them. So how do you assess his first two games this year?
Man, that is his life. That's what he signed up for. I've known him the majority of his life, and he's living what he dreamed. He wants the big matchups. He's prepared himself for it. There's challenges that come with it. I like the general spirit in which he addresses them. It's new week, new challenges for him. He's probably got another, you know, high pedigree, talented guy to deal with this week. But that's what he's running to, not away from, and I just appreciate his approach and his attitude regarding it. We're going to continually work on technique and things of that nature. He's still a very young player and has got room for growth in those areas, and I expect him to.
Mike, have you had any professional interaction with Jim Harbaugh other than attending Michigan Pro Day?
A lot over the years. I mean, this isn't his first rodeo in the National Football League, and so I've seen some of them over the years, certainly.
Mike, you talked about the new additions to the defense, but what type of impact has Deshaun Elliott's like versatility had to be able to come up and help him stop the run?
You know, he's done a really nice job. He's new to us, but not unfamiliar to us. Saw a lot of tape on him when he was in the AFC North in Baltimore. Always appreciated the things that you mentioned, and it's proven to be very evident. Over the course of 2 weeks, he's made quite a few plays, not to mention splash plays, interceptions, tackle for losses on third down and one, those weighty plays that kind of shape football games, and excited for him and really excited about continuing to utilize his talents, man, as we get to know him more.
Mike, are you concerned about the lack of production at receiver after George?
I'm not.
What do you think of your success on run defense? I mean, 17 yards for Williams is pretty impressive.
I'm sorry?
What do you feel has gone into your success run defense, especially this past week with Williams?
You know, they had a rookie quarterback, and so we realized that they were going to allocate a lot of time and energy and prep toward minimizing his exposure to our defense in one-dimensional circumstances. The number one way to do that is to run the football. And so that was job one for us defensively last week, to attack the run so that they could not protect or hide that inexperienced quarterback.
Justin, Mike, using that phrase that you just used, not new to you, but not new to the NFL, that's certainly Russ. How have you gotten to know him through this process, and how hard is it for you and the staff in a quarterback decision-making process like this to say no to an established veteran if he wants to go?
It's not hard at all. You know, he hadn't had medical clearance at this point, and so there's no judgment component of it. In terms of getting to know him, it's been a pleasure. You don't have the type of career that Russ has had without behaving in a certain way. I know that. Any of us in our business knows that. And it's just cool to see that behavior that professionalism, that approach to business that makes his type of career happen. And it's good for young guys to see it, to glean from it, to learn from, but also to mimic it. And so it's just really good to have veterans around that have been to the mountaintop, if you will, professionally and seen a lot and experienced a lot. It's helpful on a lot of levels.
Justin didn't run as much this week against the Broncos. Was that a function of their defense or just getting behind the sticks?
Run as much as what?
As he did in week one.
You know, it's a two-game sample. Keep watching.
You mentioned him a little bit last week, but do you expect to see an uptick in Roman Wilson's work this week as well?
I do. We'll see where that leads, whether it leads to participation or how much participation. But, yes, I was pleased with his progress last week, and I'm excited to see where it leads us this week.
How close was he to playing last week?
It's irrelevant.
Mike, Justin mentioned how rewarding it was to get the win in Denver for Russ. He said you gave out a petty game ball. Is that something that you've done often? Is it rewarding for you to get that win for him?
You know, none of your businesses, respectfully. There's certain things that go on among teams that I don't talk about. Whether it gets out or how it gets out is unimportant to me, and I'm not overly guarded against it. But it's just certain things as a leader that I talk to the collective about that I have zero intentions of sharing with the larger public, because it's about our collective and how we come together and how we appreciate and support one another. And, you know, I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like it.
Like for as much weight as you tend to put on, especially for rookies, what is done in stadium, in the preseason before you allocate playing time, you didn't get to see much from Fautano. What was it that he did either in practice or classroom to your earlier statements that really stood out that you felt comfortable doing this?
Actually, I did. We were not passive about playing him in the preseason when he was available. He played a lot. And then we had also practices against Buffalo. And so he's been in some elevated circumstances beyond the practices. But some of the things that he's shown us has nothing to do with, anything other than pedigree. He's really talented, and that is very evident. And so we play him.
Mike, the Chargers near the top of the league in 22 personnel usage. Just, are you seeing a trend of more teams going to bigger personnel packages, and what kind of challenges does that present?
I've been preparing for two teams thus far, and so I'd be lying to you if I was talking to you about trends and things of that nature. I know about Atlanta, and I know about Denver. I'm getting to know about the L.A. Chargers.
Anyone else? All right.
Thanks, guys.
Very, very interesting. And do we have a lot to talk about? The Mike Tomlin Presser Reaction brought to you by your local Parmore stores. Remember, if there's not a Parmore store near you, there will be soon. We're readying ourselves around Justin. That's all you needed to hear. He's playing. Now, I know he said if we'll revisit the conversation if Russell's healthy later in the week. Forget that. Sounds to me like Fields is playing. Sounds very obvious. So then the question becomes, and as somebody who used to sit in those gatherings, I'm always very, very interested in how the questions are worded, and I want to give a shout out to Ashley Leotis for the perfect question. The perfect question, which almost always is a short question. The fewer words, the better. And she basically asked, is this still a competition? And I don't know what the hell he said, to be honest with you. So why don't we go back right now? Because this is the story. This, Justin Fields and Broderick Jones, are the two stories here with the Steelers right now. Why don't we go back and listen right now as part of this Tomlin Reaction, City Limits. And this will set up the rest of the show when Ashley piped up later in the news conference after, a lot of people ask questions about Fields and Wilson. But, man, she put it together here. And I don't know. I have to go back and listen now to exactly what Tomlin said about, hey, going into week one, I said it was debatable. My pecking order hasn't changed. He was going back and forth too many times to count. I don't know what he said. So let's go back and comb through it right now.
With Justin, does he still view this as a chance to earn a starting spot right now?
You'd have to ask him that. I don't want to speak for him.
Is this the competition still in your mind?
Again, I've stated where we are. At the beginning of week one, I said it was debatable, and so we were staying status quo, and Russ was in pole position. My position regarding the pecking order and the depth chart has not changed, guys, and it won't until the other guy gets healthy, and then we'll give it real consideration. Until then, I won't speculate. I don't know how many ways I can tell you guys that.
Okay. So my position regarding pole position and the depth chart has not changed, but it could, is basically what he said there. It doesn't matter whether it's changed right now. If he still considers Russell Wilson in pole position, the race has started. There is no pole position now. We got cars going around the track. Tomlin's a big NASCAR fan. Did you know that?
Apparently so. And didn't he say something about hot dogs too?
No, he legitimately is. I meant that.
Was not aware. But no, to me that reads pretty much, I still think that kind of reads that Wilson's the guy.
I don't. Not at all.
But still the pole position. But again, he will not say, yes, Russell is still the starter. Which, again, it's easy to just, he knows these questions are coming. He knows people are going to ask it. If he just wants everybody to stop asking, he would just say, yes, Russell is the starter. Just like, and that doesn't mean it's true, but I'm surprised he doesn't just say it to get it off his back.
It's easy to say right now, I haven't changed my position on the depth chart, but he also left the obvious addition to that, but I could. He said, we'll revisit it when Russell's ready to play, basically is what he said. So
that means there's a competition.
So you're right. The question was perfect. Is this still a competition? He could have easily said, yes, of course it is. I've stated since the end of last year that I want competition at the quarterback position, and Justin's getting an audition right now. Of course it's a competition. He didn't say that. He basically said, my position hasn't changed on the depth chart, what I told you guys in week one, but it could. It could change. He left open the possibility that it could change. So bottom line is, Justin Fields has another gigantic audition Sunday. And if he plays great and they're 3-0, if he puts two halves together like he did the first half Sunday, to me there's almost zero chance we'll see Russell Wilson in the next game.
And I agree.
Why would we? I want to replay that coming back. And then get into the Broderick Jones situation. Man, is there a lot brewing right there. If I heard correctly, Tomlin says, somebody asked about Jones toggling between right and left tackle, and Tomlin said that was going to be his role regardless of who starts and who doesn't. What does that mean? What does that mean?
He's basically calling Broderick Jones their swing tackle.
He was going to alternate by quarter? Right tackle in the first. Now you go over to left. What does that mean? Why did they draft this guy 14?
So you traded up for a swing tackle. You traded up for a swing tackle is pretty much what he's saying in that clip.
What's his position? There's something brewing there. And then the most unbelievable answer of all was our very own Ray Fittipaldo saying, are you concerned about the lack of production at receiver, you know, beyond Pickens? And Tomlin said, I'm not, which would make him the only person in the universe who's not concerned about that, who cares about the Steelers. Concerned about the lack of production at receiver? I'm not. Okay. Well, everybody else is. So let's listen to a little more of that coming up, but really back to our original conversation today. Ben Roethlisberger has endorsed Justin Fields as the starter, says he should start. And this was before we knew that Russell Wilson was the same as last week. But Ben said, even if Russell were deemed healthy this week, Justin should start. So I imagine if they go 3-0 and Justin plays like he's been playing, which to me is slightly above okay, that Ben would endorse him again to continue. Would you? Would you stick with Justin Fields? Or does Russell Wilson deserve his chance to play? Mike Tomlin has asked a very, very simple and well-worded question. Is this still a competition? And he didn't say yes, of course it is, but he didn't say no. Which in the end, I think we can all deduce that this is still very much a competition and that Justin Fields if he has a really good game, you may never see Russell Wilson start a game here.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Russell Wilson apparently not ready to play, although he's dressing for games, which is an odd situation. I have to wonder, well, from week one, I didn't wonder. Russell told the Steelers he was ready to play. Now, has he had a setback since then? You know, if this were prime Russell Wilson in Seattle and these were big games, would he be playing? I don't know. I would think he would be insisting on playing. The whole situation's very fascinating to me. And to add to it, we had Ben Roethlisberger on his podcast, Footballin', cast his vote for one of these guys, even when Russell Wilson is healthy. Now, this was coming into the week before we knew what Tomlin said today, which is that it's status quo with Russ from last week. But Ben basically said, hey, even if Wilson is healthy, keep rolling with Fields.
It's to me, if Russ is healthy, I'm sticking with Justin.
Hmm. That was my next question.
I said it last week I wouldn't, but what I saw today, I think that he has earned and deserves the right to stay there.
I'll say this too, that at the Post-Gazette, Adam Bittner has a story. If you look deeper into analytics, which some people like to do, some people hate to do, Pro Football Focus loves Justin Fields so far this season, saying that he's playing a very good brand of football, making as many big-time throws, which are tight window-type throws down the field a bit, as almost anybody in the league. He doesn't have a single turnover-worthy throw as far as PFF is concerned, and he's playing well. That's what they say. I think Mike Tomlin would probably agree. He's been highly, highly complimentary of Justin Fields. So where do you stand on this? With Ben or against Ben? Should Justin Fields be the guy moving forward here? But more importantly, for this week's purposes, is he still legitimately auditioning? Tomlin was asked a couple questions by Ashley Liotis about whether this is still a competition, and his answer was interesting, to say the least. I'm still parsing through it to try to determine what he meant.
With Justin, does he still view this as a chance to earn a starting spot right now?
You'd have to ask him that. I don't want to speak for him.
Is this the competition still in your mind?
Again, I've stated where we are. At the beginning of week one, I said it was debatable, and so we were staying status quo, and Russ was in pole position. My position regarding the pecking order and the depth chart has not changed, guys, and it won't until the other guy gets healthy, and then we'll give it real consideration. Until then, I won't speculate. I don't know how many ways I can tell you guys that.
Depth chart, his mind on the depth chart has not changed until the, quote, other guy gets healthy. Then it could change. That's the obvious sentence there. And if you're still thinking at this point, like somebody named Mark on Twitter, that we're making too much out of the quarterback situation, you're out of your mind. They're 2-0. Nationally, you tune into any show with ex-players, this is a legitimate topic of debate. And you have the quarterback laureate in this town, Ben Roethlisberger, telling the whole world he thinks they should stick with Justin Fields. You at least have to admit that if Fields has a great game, it's going to be one hell of a topic next week if Russell Wilson is healthy. But that was interesting listening to Tomlin again on that for the third time, interpreting it as, hey, my mind on the depth chart has not changed and it won't until the other guy gets healthy. In other words, when the other guy gets healthy, I'll be reconsidering. I'm going to take a look at things then. Doesn't matter that his mind hasn't changed now. Russell Wilson's not playing. Do you like that he referred to him as the other guy? I do.
Yeah, the other guy, not name it, even though the other guy is still listed as the starter.
Yeah.
On the depth chart.
Good for him, I guess. Here's my position. Justin Fields hasn't done enough yet to earn this job. And if Russell Wilson had been declared healthy this week, he should have been the starter. And unless Justin Fields has a great game against the Chargers, I want to see what Russell Wilson can do. Russell Wilson deserves that chance unless the other guy is so good that it's a non-topic. And there's nobody who would say that right now. They've won touchdown. He hasn't been bad, mind you. And as I said earlier, when I think about what I like most about Justin Fields, it's the possibility of the spectacular. He has been very careful with the football so far. That's good, I guess, but that's sort of Kenny Pickett-like. I mean, if that's the best thing you can say about somebody, that ain't much. But I said something better about him. There is that chance you feel on every snap that he can turn something bad into something very good and give you a spectacular play. And of course, I like the fact that he can move around and make plays. And I would say this, if you're going to cast your lot with Justin Fields, then go all in on physical run game. Go all in on that. Go steal Greg Roman. They're going against Greg Roman this week. Go steal Greg Roman's playbook. Go up to him in the press box this week or on the field and say, could I have your press box, or I'm sorry, your playbook from the Ravens from 5 years ago? I'll pay for it. Because that's what they should do, is go all in on a read option type offense where your quarterback is going to have the choice to carry the ball, where he's going to be maybe your leading rusher in a lot of weeks. Use Warren and Harris, sometimes all three in the same backfield. Use a potentially road grading offensive line from right to left with Fotanu, Daniels, Frazier, Sayamalu when he gets back. And apparently he's getting real close, according to Tomlin. And then I guess Dan Moore, maybe Jones at left tackle, and just start pounding the ball like those Ravens did. Build your offense around Fields' personality and style and strengths if that's what you're going to do. Whose side are you on here? Ben Roethlisberger and our friend City Limits, that they should go with Fields even when Russ gets healthy? Or mine and many others, that unless something really special happens this weekend, unless Fields is great, then Russell Wilson should get a chance here. Plus, for me at least, there's the curiosity factor. I just want to see Russell Fields in this offense. What does it look like compared to Fields? I want to see that. Limits, you don't. You want Fields to keep playing, don't you?
I would be fascinated by what Russell Wilson does look like, but I think that Fields will ultimately end up being the better player in the offense as long as they take the leash off and take the chains off. But I kind of feel like they're more willing to do that for Russell Wilson. So it does, in the back of my mind, want to see him a little bit, as much as I still am adamant that Fields should be the starter.
412-928-9370, 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the quarterbacks. Do you agree with Ben? Or do you think that Russell Wilson should be the guy when he's healthy? And then we're going to talk about Broderick Jones. I've been teasing this the whole show, for which I apologize. I should have gotten to all of it earlier. And I promise I will next. And that is Chris Hoke's comments, which were very critical of Broderick Jones, and the morning show's response to those comments, and the whole Broderick Jones dilemma. Let's do that.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.